From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, presented by Physical Athletics. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, as well as an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 Podcast. The 50-50 Podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partner is Physical Athletics. You can, for those of you local in the Borderland region here in El Paso, you can find them at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. All right, they are doing some cutting edge things. The director of strength and conditioning there, Coach Armando Aguilar, and his staff are doing, they are applying science to your game, and they're doing some amazing things. Make sure you look them up. You can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's FYZ ATHLETIC. And then you can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest, he is the head coach of the reigning, defending, newly crowned 6A UIL 6A boys state champion, Coach David Rogers. Coach Rogers, how are you, sir?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. I'm sure everything is still spinning 100 miles an hour. You and your boys are very much in demand. So congratulations on that state title.
Extremely rewarding. You know, we feel like it's been a pretty much a four-year process, getting into the regional finals, state finals, and then last year being undefeated, and then this year finally getting to close the deal.
Right, right. So, you know, you talk about the buildup, the process. It's obviously you're not an overnight success, obviously, and we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But talk to us a little bit. Give us, you know, before we start looking a little bit more into this season, just kind of give us a little bit of a snapshot, a little bit of a summary about you, your coaching background, and then as well as your program.
Sure. I started coaching soccer in 99 at Granbury. And my first year, I was really fortunate. It was the first year that back then there was only a 5A classification being the highest and 4 and 5A split. And so Granbury was the first team to win the 4A state title in 99. And I was an assistant coach, had a good mentor in Larry Mayo. And obviously seeing what it took to win a state championship was a big, big plus. I got a head coaching job after that year. And took on Denton Ryan. We played them in the playoffs and knew they're a playoff team. And the first year we made the playoffs there, and the second year we qualified for state. And being a second year head coach, we got strummed by South Lake Carroll and state semifinal. But it was great just qualifying, and had a lot of, you know, seasons that we were close to getting back. Knocking on the door, never did. And then I moved to the San Antonio area in 2005 to 2006 and was fortunate enough to land a job in Bernie. And we won the state championship my first year there in 2005-2006. And we ended up closing down Bernie High for remodeling and opening up Champion High School. First year we opened up Champion, we went to the regional finals, lost to Hidalgo, Great Valley team. In the regional final, felt like that team was good enough to win state, and Hidalgo actually won it, played in some windy conditions in Corpus, and they got two in with a win, and we only got one. So we felt like we were knocking on the door at Champion and won it in 2011, and then went over to Lee in 2014, and in 2014 was fortunate enough to turn a fifth place team into a district championship type team my first year. Then we were like second the next 2 years in a row, and then we made the regional finals 4 years ago. This is my seventh year there at Lee, and then we went to the state finals, lost in PKs in 2019. Last year we were undefeated in 2020, and you know, that was a team that was very, very good. It was a team that was ranked 2 in the nation Probably the best offensive team I've ever coached. Two kids got a full ride to Incarnate Word and Francisco Segura and Wilmar Aguilar. And then Andrew Erickson got a scholarship to Kentucky. And then we had a outside back go to Harden Simmons. And that did real well down there. And then this year, everybody was like, do you have enough in the left in the tank to get the job done? And after graduating six senior starters with that group last year, we kind of have the philosophy of we've got a good nucleus back. Let's build around that. Let's add to it. And from the younger guys, and we lost the game early in the Austin showcase. We knew that we had some kids that were out with COVID. We had some kids that were out due to grades at the beginning of the year. And we got a chance to see that team that beat us 4-0 in the second round of the playoffs, Austin Vandegrift. And we beat them 4-1. And we felt like our region was probably the one of the tougher regions this year, with Clemens being undefeated and Lake Travis being undefeated, only tying each other. And we had to see both of those on our side of the bracket. So we felt like if we could get past those two teams, we felt like the state tournament would be ours to take. And the Lake Travis game was probably the tougher of the two. We went into penalty kicks with them after a 1-1 draw after overtime, and we beat them 4-3 in penalty kicks. And I truly thought that was a state championship game. Nothing to take away from the two we saw in the state tournament, but I did think Lake Travis was better.
Yeah, absolutely. I was along for the ride, covering you all a good bit for the majority of your state playoff games. And you talk about, you go from Vandegrift to Clemens, you know, to Lake Travis. That's kind of a murderer's row, right? Just to arrive at the state tournament, said a lot, obviously. So this makes now last week's victory. This makes your third state title. Is that correct?
Yes, third state title as a head coach, and one more as a assistant.
As an assistant, so four total. Well, you're about to start running out of fingers, man. You know, you're going to have to start getting some on the second hand there. So congrats on that. So while I do mention that, kind of a little bit of what's you guys in the talks as far as the state title ring kind of being developed right now. What's going on with that?
Sure. Yes, we're talking to a ring company right now, and you know, we're getting some different designs going and seeing what we like. And obviously pretty excited to put our shield on the ring and, you know, our little logo there and our little mantra of refuse to lose. And I've always told kids, you got to hate losing more than you love winning. And I think our kids bought into that in our program.
They sure play like it, I'll tell you that. So coach, talk about, you know, you all came, y'all were the last team standing at the end in a very tough, obviously 6A conference. But it was also, on top of that, it was in a very, very difficult, challenging, whatever you want to call it, season, right? From COVID and all those protocols and parameters that you had to deal with, to, you know, overcoming a major winter storm, and then a lot of games kind of compacted into a short time frame. Describe your experience as the head man, right? The leader of the entire program. Describe your experience through the season.
You know, I think our boys were really kind of self-motivated. I don't really take a lot of credit for that. I think that the boys had already seen their season stripped from the year before, after being 17-0-1 and the season called short, and you know, knew they had a chance to win a state title the year before. And, you know, we were undefeated before the winter blast and in district play. And I didn't think we were going to have any type of hiccups once we came back. And it kind of really helped us, to be honest, because we were going through some injuries and it gave some time for legs to heal. And I think coaches kind of tend to overtrain sometimes during district play. And I really like to go as long as the length of a game, about an hour and a half, get after them pretty hard, and then do some light stretching and cool down and get them out of there. And sometimes during district play, legs get tired, and I think it was good to have a nice little break. And, you know, we got healthy at the right time. And, you know, you talked about that gauntlet in the playoffs. And I was a little worried because we had some hamstring pulls and some ankle injuries. And we had our left winger go down, and we sat him out 4 games. And our backup keeper goes in and emerges as a starting striker. And this backup keeper was phenomenal. And I couldn't say enough about the way he played in the playoffs. And Jesus Blanco, who had was sitting behind Joey Bitrani, wasn't seeing the much of goal time. So he had an opportunity to start as a forward and score a lot of big games. The Clemens game had the third goal and, you know, put constant pressure on defenses, and probably very, very fast player that a lot of people didn't see coming.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we discussed about, I mean, really all teams, not just you all, during our, you know, our 4-part series that we had, teaming up with our friends over at the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable and Coach Rafa, we talked about how, you know, one of the things that I've learned in my coaching time, and as far as I've only had a chance to make it as far as a state semifinal. That's as far as I've had a chance to make it. But what you realize when you're in this long enough, and especially when you're making, you know, consistent deep runs, is that it's not enough to be obviously motivated, you know, on a mission, you know, and talented, but sometimes things just have to, you have to get a little lucky along the way, right? Certain things just break your way a little bit. You know, did you notice that in, you know, and we'll get to going, looking back in a minute, but did you notice that this year in maybe in little things versus when you looked back compared to in your mind versus 2019?
You know, honestly, I felt like the 2019 run, we weren't challenged at all in our region. And I felt like our region, we were winning, we were on the regional final 5-0. And a lot of playoff games were 4-0 at halftime. And I thought the biggest difference was our road to state was a lot tougher as far as the competition. And mainly talking about Vandegrift, Clemens, Lake Travis, seeing those guys. And then it just pushed us. And I thought that was the major difference. And, you know, we did see some injuries going through that gauntlet, but our kids are very dedicated about getting in a training room and treating their bodies right with ice baths, and even tried some cryotherapy. And man, I'd highly recommend that for athletes that have ankle injury. I couldn't believe how our player hurt his ankle really bad. The kid who scored in the Lake Travis game. And I didn't think he was going to be able to go for the state semifinal. Cause you're talking a Friday to Tuesday turnaround. And by Monday, he was practicing after going to treatment Saturday, Sunday, Monday afternoon. And he was practicing with us that Monday afternoon. And that cryotherapy is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of a must for, well, I guess a must, I guess we can call it that in terms of recovery, especially for high level athletes, for sure. So, so Coach, we look at, you know, we go back, and one of the things, you know, here's a shout out to my buddy again there, Coach Boswell, who's been doing, you know, I know, helping you guys out, doing tremendous things, running your social media. She's a big fan of hers. One of the things in speaking with her that I mentioned to, you know, about you all was I kind of compared this season for you all was the season of redemption, right? And I kind of compared it to the parallels of, you know, for those San Antonio Spurs fans we might have out there, right? That 2013 season where they were like 26 seconds away from winning another NBA title versus Miami Heat, and then had it taken away from them, and then how they responded, right, in 2014. Sure. You know what, you know, when you look back on that 2019, and then you basically get put on hold, the season is taken away from you all last year, and your senior class from last year doesn't get that opportunity to redeem themselves. And then now this class does it this year. What was the feeling amongst your boys? What was the feeling amongst the program when you look back on that over what was really kind of a 3-season journey?
You know, probably the toughest loss in 2019, losing in the state finals. And, you know, it definitely motivated us for, 2020. And our boys were hungry, ready to get at it. And then, like you said, the season's called short. And we felt like the second half of district of that 2020, we started to get really healthy and really started to explode, beating top programs 10-0, 5-0. And I'm not talking about programs that are seventh or eighth in your district. I'm talking about your second place and your third place teams. We're being 5-10-0. And I couldn't say enough about Francisco Segura, finally healthy last year, and William Aguilar, and who had gotten hurt in that state finals game. So we felt like last year was kind of the revenge tour, and got taken away. And then we made this one, I guess, the redemption tour. And, it was really sweet. And, you know, I do have to bring up, you know, talking about losing in PKs, I wish the UIL would have a uniform decision throughout the state of Texas to allow PKs to break ties. I'm a big, proponent, in favor of that. To me, something you try to simulate in practice and try to put in a game situation, it's really tough. And we caught again in the regional finals this year. And unfortunately, our district has been tied with it 2 years in a row and voting on them. And it's been 8-8 one year and 7-7 another year for them and we're against. And to me, it's like our district we had three losses in PKs this year. And so I was a little bit nervous going in up against Lake Travis, but I knew our keeper had a lot of experience playing 19 playoff games and losing the state finals that way. So to win the regional finals in PKs was another kind of like feather in our cap to kind of say we crossed that bridge too.
Yeah. And speaking of him, you talk about Joey, but is that, how do you pronounce that? Is that Petroni? How do you spell that?
Petroni. That's Petroni. Correct.
It is. Okay. Cause I've heard a few different versions, so I wasn't quite sure.
I think I butchered it for 4 years too. I was calling him Petroni the first 3 years. And so I think he prefers Petroni.
Right. All right. Hey, well, you got it done. It took you 4 years, but you got it done, right? Good
That's
job.
Right.
All right. You look back at, let's just say him, right? And obviously it's about far more than just a goalkeeper, right? And you're in that penalty situation in 2019, and he's a sophomore, right? He's in goal, and obviously it's not on him, but then when it comes down to penalties, he kind of has to live with that as a goalkeeper, right? Which, and as you know, goalkeepers are just a different breed, right? A special breed, to now, right? You see how, where he came from then to now, what's your, when you look back on it for Joey, how he handled it, what's your take on that?
Right away the next season, we go to the Dallas, tournament and Coppell and, some of the top teams in the nation there, got to coach against Brandy Chastain and actually went to PKs with her and he won, two PK games in that tournament, and to win that tournament was we saw three top teams in the nation, and I think that gave him a lot of confidence his junior year, and then obviously some more experience and on his behalf, on his defense sophomore year, the first two shooters missed, and really didn't back him up, but he didn't save one either. Don't want to let him off the hook either. But I tell you what, his junior and senior year, he was absolutely amazing in PKs, stopping at least two every time we saw PKs from then on out. And to be able to stop two PKs or intimidate enough to him to hit the bar, go wide or whatever, was pretty phenomenal. And, man, he's grown as a goalkeeper and going to Coastal Carolina. I think he's going to put a starting spot there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's tremendous. Congratulations to him as well, headed to Coastal Carolina. And the thing, we talked about it too on Inside Texas High School Soccer, where after that Lake Travis game, where that was kind of like a big monkey off the back kind of moment for you all, right? In terms of getting it done, you know, in a crunch situation, in the state playoffs, in penalties, right? Something sure. that you guys needed to check off that checklist. Was there anything about this season that really kind of surprised you that you did not see coming besides a winter storm?
Well, you know, a lot of people didn't think we had enough left in the tank. And I think what surprised me the most was the amount of multiple goal scorers in double digits. And the fact that a lot of coaches would say, you guys were almost easier when you had Paco up top and Wilmar up top, you know, to guard and kind of defend. But, you know, you guys had so many people in double digits with Eferine and double digits and Julian Sanchez and Dante and Christian Chandler and, you know, Henry Boland and Jonathan Fascio. And it, and then we get another one with Jesus Blanco with our goalkeeper. And it was just amazing, man, to see how many kids had double digits, not only in goals, but assists. And I think they just, you know, as a product of just playing team soccer. You know, a lot of teams say, let's play simple. You know, and it's easy to say, but then everybody wants to be a superstar. This team, they really bought into two and three touch and combination play and kind of like all the little rondos we did in practice kind of, you know, spelled into that. And man, the combination play was beautiful. And, you know, definitely somebody emerged as a hero every game. And I think that makes a complete team.
Yeah. Playing simple. The only part about playing simple is probably is that it can be simply said, right? But doing it consistently is a very hard thing. And that was one of the things that I noticed about this year's group, your group, whenever there were moments, right, where maybe not that the game was getting away from them, but they felt like momentum was slipping a little bit at certain, those pivotal moments in a match, your boys would settle right back. They were very composed, you know,
right.
And they would settle down. They would just continue to build, connect the passes. And it was, you know, and you all were able to regain momentum. I noticed that in a couple of matches this year. So kudos to them. You've done a great job with them. And also congratulations, coach, on the nation's number one ranking in multiple, both United Soccer Coaches poll, as well as the top drawer soccer poll. How's the community reacting to that?
You know, I think everybody was really thrilled when we were nominated one of the nation by United States Soccer Association. And then a few days later by Top Drawer and to be number one in the nation, you know, two very respectable polls. Right. Man, it was just kind of like icing on the cake. Really cool for them to give us that nod and, you know, proud of the boys because I really feel like they deserved it.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's great, you know, great coverage, great recognition. And speaking of coverage, coach, did you get the sense this year after what we all as a community went through, you know, soccer community in the country, but kind of a soccer community here in Texas and maybe there in San Antonio and at Lee, did you get the sense that there was after it being kind of ripped away from all of us, from you all last year, did you get the sense that there was a greater level of excitement and also maybe a higher level of just coverage, you know, around the city, around the state with high school soccer?
You know, I think there's definitely more of an appreciation from the kids as well, you know, for love of the game. And after having it stripped, I think they, you know, were a little bit more passionate this year. I felt like the media was absolutely great with the coverage. We had, you know, Fox out a couple times and Ken's Five and, you know, yada, yada, all these, you know, news stations coming out and, you know, covering our playoff run. But, you know, when the coach says, you know, treat this practice like it may be your last, I think the boys can really relate to it a little bit more this year because, you know, that was probably just as painful last year, having the season taken away as losing in the state finals and PKs. And it, you know, you ask which one was more difficult. And man, I almost think being undefeated and having the season taken away and not getting a chance and, you know, I'll honestly admit, I think we were a little bit more talented last year than this year. So we knew that we had a chance to have two state titles in a row. And heck, if things would have went right with the PKs, it could have been three. So yeah. We're just fortunate enough that we pulled off one. And that really is a testament to the guys just playing as a team. Definitely not that we don't have the talent, because, you know, we talked about Joey going on playing at Coastal Carolina, and so is Henry Boland, who's the MVP of the state tournament. And, you know, I think we have a lot of other players. Jonathan Fascio going to play at Fort Hays, and, you know, Dante Valencia will go on and play. He's still kind of checking out some programs, but he has two Division III offers. And, you know, we definitely think that we have some juniors that are Division I players as well. And, maybe even a sophomore that is knocking on that door too.
That's awesome. That's, you know, that's great to hear. And so now that, and that kind of perfectly leads me into my next question, Coach, is now you all have that target on your back, right? So now it's like everyone's kind of gunning for it. Obviously I'm going to let you enjoy it for a little while here. Right. But it's, as you know, us as coaches, the wheels start spinning after a few days of, okay, what's next? What about next year? You alluded to it a little bit, but talk about your boys that are coming back. What kind of gets you amped up? What gets you excited about what you have returning?
Sure. You know, I look at Julian Sanchez, who was, had the assist on the first goal and probably one of the best, forwards I think in the country, because not only is he good offensively, but he plays defense. And unlike Ronaldo, he actually believes in defense. And, you know, some of these players that are so talented get away with not playing defense. He's someone that is on you 24/7, and he's just relentless. And I look at him and, you know, just really admire his game, think that he is nonstop hustle. And then I look at our right back who drew the penalty kick in the state final, Davis Kelly, and he is you know, he's just a nuisance. He just gets on all over everybody, and he's, you know, so clean with the ball. And, you know, I really like defenders that are completing 90% of their passes out of the back and, you know, link up with midfield really well. And I felt like he really did that and added to the attack. So excited about those guys. And Christian Chandler, being a sophomore, is newcomer of the year. I think he's going to be a Division I talent. Giovanni Garcia, who scored on the header in the state final, he's back. He was our left back who scored a nice header from Henry Boland. And he was newcomer of the year 2 years ago. And feel like, you know, we've got a great nucleus back again. And everybody's going, well, you're graduating five or six starters, Coach. And to me, it's like, well, we did that the year before too.
Right.
And you have a solid program and kids buy into it and believe in themselves. And I think it takes a coach to be passionate and players to be passionate. I think we feed off each other, and I think they're addicted to that deep playoff run. I think they love it. I think that they come accustomed to it. And I told them, are you going to be the class to let it go? You know, are you going to be the class that, you know, doesn't get back to the regional tournament? Are you going to be the class that settles for getting knocked out in the first or second round? And to me, it's like, I welcome the target. It's been on us pretty much for 4 years. And yeah. I like high pressure during soccer season. I really am a pretty intense coach and have a lot of fun with them too. But to me, it's like I've always performed better as an athlete under pressure. I think it brings out the best in you. So to me, if you play weak competition in non-district play and tournaments, it's not going to benefit you. You want to try to play the best and get the best out of you. And we definitely were not the best at the beginning of the year. You know, we played some good competition in Vandegrift and Austin Westlake that really challenged us. And definitely, I think coaches that kind of pad their records and playing teams that they know they can get W's off of, I think it'll come back to haunt them as they go to the playoffs and they'll get exposed. So I'm glad that we have a tough pre-district and a good district in itself to try to get us prepared for the playoffs.
He's Coach David Rogers, the head coach of the defending, reigning, I should say, UAL 6A boys soccer state champions, the San Antonio Lee Volunteers. Coach, you mentioned your district. Talk about you know, the obviously not a week, not, you don't want to play a week schedule. You're not going to get better like that. 28-6A, talk to us a little bit about that and how you feel, just the other, the quality level of the other teams in there, and sure, how you feel it makes you all better, and just your thoughts on your district.
You know, we talked about 4 years ago getting the regional tournament. We saw Reagan and we lost to them 1-0 in the regional final. So seeing your own district opponent in the regional final, you know, it kind of speaks for itself. But then we went ahead and did it the next year as well and got a little redemption that year when we went to state and saw Reagan once again in the regional final. And then Churchill hired a new coach in Justin Linthicum, who I highly respect, and it made that program even better. And they've had some state champion experiences there before in the early 2000s. They were the last, you know, San Antonio team to do it on the highest level. They did it in 2003, but he's emerged as a coach that has brought a lot of respectability to that program. And, you know, they've been they were the second place team in district this year, tied with Reagan. And couldn't say enough about him as a coach and, you know, how well prepared his boys are when they play us.
That's great. So, you know, we've talked about the target. We've talked about there's always a, whether it's a revenge tour, a redemption tour. Now you guys are, you know, you're the king of the castle. You're at the mountaintop. What message do you come back with them now? Now that there's, you know, there isn't, you know, it's kind of mission accomplished, check mark, check mark, check mark. What's the message you give them now to keep them hungry?
That was last year. Now everybody 0-0. Nobody cares if they're state champions once the season starts. And sure, a target's going to be on their back, and everybody's going to want to prove something. We started the year out 2 in the nation, and we kind of had that target. And we saw if you got a little complacent, what could happen. And a team thumped us 4-0. And I think that loss really motivated us. And, you know, I think it's how you handle a loss early in the season. And we changed some positions up. And, you know, I think losses are good early in the year if you learn from them. I don't really think losses are ever good if you don't ever learn anything from it. And
absolutely.
You know, I think you keep the boys motivated just by, you know, letting them remember what it took to get there and the hard work and the teamwork and the dedication. And, you know, I just know our kids' character that they're not going to lay down. And I expect us to be a deep playoff team again next year.
Well said, Coach. So, Coach, as we start wrapping up here, kind of it's not every day that other coaches in our profession, you know, that they get to hear from a state championship coach, a coach that's been to the mountaintop, just experienced it. Obviously, you're fresh off of it from last week. Any words of wisdom, anything, thoughts that, you know, you have high school soccer coaches here listening right now, what can you share with them?
If you give an athlete an excuse to take it, he is always going to take it and take the easier road. Be hard on your athletes. Be tough on your athletes. To me, they crave discipline. They crave a program that is going to be consistent and to treat everyone the same. It always bothered me as a player, you know, certain athletes were treated differently than others. And to me, you need to be almost harder on your superstars in your program than, you know, the guy that's basically carrying the water out there. And to me, I think too many coaches cater to athletes nowadays. And I don't like that type of coach who's going to cater to their athlete, let them have all these earrings and long hair and everything else. If we have a discipline format, I want them to follow it. And, you know, I pride our program on being probably one of the most clean cut programs in the state and being one of the most disciplined programs in the state. And, you know, a lot of coaches will say that later in the playoffs, your teams are just so disciplined. And to me, don't let your athletes get away with it. I think a lot of athletes nowadays always ask why. And the answer is because I said, it has to be, they know who is in charge of the program. They have to have a respect for the coach. And to me, it's once you start bending on your rules, then you kind of let everybody else take over. And then you have an undisciplined program and you have bad habits enter your program.
Right. Tough love, right? Tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, one option too, coach, just putting it out there is, you know, great haircuts such as mine, they're an option. You know, I'm just putting it out there. So, just a thought. So,
I really got strict with it once my hair wouldn't grow anymore. So maybe I'm a little biased.
All right. All right, coach. Well, hey, this has been great. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you, you know, setting aside, some time out of your day to speak to us, speak to the, high school soccer coaches. You know, you got college coaches listening to this as well. Any final thoughts, anything you'd like to share before we, call it a day, coach?
Sure. You know, I think the most important thing is keep your practices fresh and exciting and always keep learning, you know, steal from other coaches and pick out drills that you can use from other coaches. And, you know, I think players enjoy doing different drills and, you know, I'm not saying every day, but I think some coaches kind of get stuck in the same format and running the same thing year after year after year. And I think it's important to kind of mix it up and really make it fun for the athletes. And to me, work them hard, but, you know, they also got into this for a reason and they love the game, and make them realize why they love the game by having some fun in practice as well.
Perfectly said. Absolutely. He's Coach David Rogers, head coach of the reigning UIL 6A boys soccer state champions, the San Antonio Lee Volunteers. Coach, thank you very much for your time. This has been exceptional. We appreciate it. And for our listeners, don't go anywhere, as we'll be right back shortly with our head coach, Michael Strong, head coach of the UIL 4A boys state champion, Bernie Greyhounds.
Hey, thanks for having me on once again. Have a good day.
Hi, I'm Armando Aguilar, Director of Strength and Conditioning at Physical Athletics. If you want to take your game to the next level, come to Physical Athletics. Our experienced staff of strength and conditioning coaches bases all of their training programs on a proven successful philosophy and years of research and scientific data. From middle school to the professional level, come see how we apply science to your game to help you improve your performance and reduce your risk of injury.
To learn more, visit Physical Athletics online at physicalathletics.com. Check them out at Facebook and Instagram at Physical Athletics, and visit them today, 2270 Joe Battle.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partner is Physical Athletics. You can find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's FYZICAL Athletic. Our next guest, he is the head coach of the UIL 4A boys reigning state champions. All right, the Bernie Greyhounds. He is Coach Michael Strong. Coach Strong, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you. We're excited to have you on. A little bit of a background story in terms of how you said we were able to energize your boys. We'll get to that a little later. But so, Coach, before we begin, again, congratulations on being recently crowned the 4A boys state title. That's a obviously a tremendous honor, and it's very, very hard to do. I think every other 4A boys school in the state can attest to that. So, before we dive in, look into the season that was, your thoughts, and the season that may be next year, tell us, give us a little bit of your background, your coaching background, and on your program.
Yeah, so coaching, I've only been coaching 3 years high school, all 3 years at Bernie High School. I was very fortunate that Coach Leach gave me my first head coaching opportunity here at Bernie High School, and it's just been an incredible run. You know, I had a great group of seniors that first year that bought in. You know, here's this new guy coming in. We've been here 3 years already, and they really set the foundation for this program, and obviously allowing now our kids, the ones who won state this year, to really succeed. So it's been a dream come true to be a head coach. And again, just, I give all the credit to the kids because they put the work in and, you know, they earned it.
So, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this was your first head coaching gig. Is that correct?
Yep. First, head coaching assistant coach for high school. Yes, sir.
So to be able to, get that ring, you know, 3 years in, that's pretty amazing, coach. Cause you know, you have, majority of us go our entire careers and don't get to taste that. So that's pretty remarkable. Congratulations to you. So coach, describe to us your season, describe to us your experience through this season, you know, in terms of COVID, a winter storm, games kind of being compacted and pressed in into a certain time frame, not knowing if we were going to get to play this year or when, what that would look like. Kind of describe your experience as a coach this season.
Yeah, I think all of us last year, the uncertainty was looming over our heads. You know, the last year playoffs got canceled. We had, I think, one game left in district, and then they canceled the season, you know, and that was heartbreaking for the seniors last year. And so this year it was just that, you know, that unexpectedness of, hey, are we going to play? Are we not? And then, you know, we were fortunate enough that here at Bernie, we were one of the first, I think 4A volleyball was the first sport that really kicked off the UIL season. And, you know, without a hitch. And we're just so fortunate here at Bernie that, you know, our administrator, our school board, Dr. Price, you know, they did a phenomenal job of contact tracing. And really, we've kept COVID out of Bernie for the most part. Obviously, we had some flare-ups here and there. Again, the Dr. Howard and Dr. Price did a phenomenal job with keeping COVID out of our schools and talking about, you know, what that looks like in the season. I mean, we're scheduled to go down to Progreso. You know, we love going down to that that tournament with Coach Jimenez. And, you know, unfortunately this year, Progreso didn't have a team. You know, they canceled their season, so right. The tournament got canceled. And, you know, we had a few teams cancel on us. So we had some spurts there. We had 10 to 14 days with no games, which is crazy, which normally you're, you know, in the middle of the season, you're, you know, before district, you're sitting there going, man, we got to get games in. This is how we get our identity, how we learn who we are. Right. And, you know, this team, though, they never missed a beat. You know, we'd come off a 14-day hiatus off games, and we'd scrimmage with the JV team or I'd pull, you know, I'd do inter-squad scrimmages, and that kept us sharp, and we'd come back and have big games after big breaks. And I think that's a testament to the kids and how much they enjoy playing the game and how much they enjoy being around each other that, you know, after that time off, it's like, oh, it's game time. And, you know, they're excited. So it was, you know, it was a stressful season, I think, for all the coaches. I think all the coaches can attest to that, but it was definitely a learning experience. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You're not lying. It was a totally different type of stress put on coaching staffs this year, and the never always kind of having in the back of your mind the, you know, beyond injuries, beyond grades, the random what ifs of if you lose a kid that tests positive, right? Or does that in the process take down your entire program for 2 weeks, right, due to quarantine? So yeah for sure totally different animal this year. So this year, coach, this marks the program's second state title, first since 2006. You know, it's been about a week now. It'll be a week tomorrow. But what's it been like? What's the buzz been like in the community over the last week?
Crazy. I mean, from, you know, getting escorted out of town by our sheriff department and having the sheriff there to wave us goodbye, having a fire truck in the parade to coming back in and having the sheriff, SUVs pick us up, come back into town. The community's been phenomenal. Last night we had our awards ceremony, and a lot more people showed up than I thought were going to show up. And so it made my job of talking a little harder. Was a little nervous, but no, it's the amount of, you know, random people coming up in the grocery store saying, oh, you know, hey, congrats, you know, great job this year. It's just been it's been so special, and I'm so lucky that I can be a part of this community and live in this community. So like I said, it's been real special.
You got anything you can share with us from that speech last night?
I think I thanked everyone under the sun, and I'm sure I forgot a bunch of people, but it was a lot of thank yous, a lot of thank yous to the boys, you know, just everyone that really made this special year happen. And you know, I told the crowd, you know, I thanked a lot of people, because to win a state title, you know, you always hear that you have to have skill, you got to have some luck, and then, man, I think you got to have the community as well. You know, right. I think there's three pieces to it. It's not just the two. And so that's why I felt like I needed to thank everyone. And, yeah, so it was a little stressful, but I think I remembered most of everyone.
Yeah, we, you know, we talked about it pretty extensively, or not extensively, but it seemed to come up regularly when we looked at it round by round in our, you know, our 4-part series of Inside Texas High School Soccer during the state playoffs. In our, you know, our collaboration, our partnership with our friends at San Antonio Soccer Roundtable and Coach Rafa, we often talked about how, obviously, you know, you have to be disciplined, you have to have talent, but along the way to make that deep, not just the deep state run, but to make a run to a title, somewhere along the way, you have to get a little lucky, right? Something just has to fall your way a little bit. And sometimes you may not, in the moment, you may not recognize it as luck or whatever you want to call it. But when you look back on it, it can be kind of like, man, we made out on that one, or things just kind of fell our way in this case. Doesn't take away from your state title whatsoever. It's just, you know, sometimes that can be the difference between coming up short and, you know, sealing the deal, is like things just have to go your way in those magical seasons. So, and then speaking about the season, Coach, you look back on it now. I know things are still kind of spinning. Things are still kind of crazy, but you've had a little bit of time to maybe just you and your family. What really, any one or two things surprised you about the season this year?
How long it was. You know, obviously you make a deep, you know, you want to make that deep run, but I've never made it out of the second round with the boys, and I made it out of the third. We made it to the third round with the girls my first year here. I coached both the boys and the girls. But man, that's a long postseason. You know, 7 games, it's a lot. And then, you know, every round that you advance, it's just, you know, the stress levels are higher. You know, you're scouting, you're watching more film than you ever have. You're scheduling, you know, stadiums and, you know, working with other coaches. So it's just, it's a whole nother ball game when you get into the playoffs, man. And again, it's such a long postseason run. But so I think just the length and the amount of paperwork you got to do along the way in the postseason.
Yeah, paperwork. No paperwork. So what about, so you talk about that process, right? So whenever you had a playoff win and you advanced to the next round, how much time internally, not what you tell the boys, obviously, but internally, how much time would you give yourself to enjoy it? Like, did you give yourself any time to enjoy it?
No. The goal, I mean, I'm not going to lie. The goal was always, you know, I knew from very early in this season that we had a special team. Yeah. You know, and we had a ton of talent. And that if we competed and we worked hard, that we would have a very good shot of winning every game that we stepped foot on that field. And so for me, it wasn't about, you know, oh, hey, we made it out of the second round for playoffs. It was, you know, my eyes were always on state and you know, hopefully making the state final and giving yourself a chance to lift that trophy. So, I mean, once the game ends, I'd be on the phones looking for film, reaching out to people I know, see if they can help me get film. So there's no enjoying. There's a little bit of enjoyment, maybe after the game when we're on the field. But once I got back onto that bus, it was preparation for the next round.
Yeah. So, you know, and you mentioned that deep playoff run, right? You know, a little birdie told me that along the way, you know, in one of your playoff matches versus Hidalgo, where you guys were coming up against them, that in our kind of, not just our predictions, but our discussions about you all going up against them, that our show kind of helped give you all a certain sense of motivation along the way. Is that true? Can you confirm that?
I can confirm. But I think as a coach, you try to find anything that you can to just give that, you know, an extra edge, you know. And so for my boys, when y'all show, we're talking about Hidalgo going to the state finals and getting through us, you know, I let them know. I said, guys, look, people aren't picking you guys. You know, y'all, you know, Max Preps rankings has y'all ranked number one in the state, but we all know how those rankings work, and it's not really maybe the most accurate ranking system out there. And right. So like, guys, people aren't respecting you guys. You know, y'all need to go out there and make statement wins. That's what I told them as well. You know, imagine your statements that you're making in the playoffs, right? All of these teams are there because they had to qualify for the playoffs. So you go beat the pants off someone, that's a statement. You go dominate that game, that's a statement. You know, every team you hope is looking at you and has you circled sitting there going, you know, I hope we don't face that Bernie squad. And, you know, like I said, so I used, you know, your guys' podcast. I appreciate that to give my boys just a little extra motivation for that game. And I think they rose to the occasion.
Yeah, and, you know, and for the record, we had discussed that. I know Coach Rafa, my buddy Coach Rafa, he had mentioned that. I think the big take was, and we knew, you know, Nate over at who writes for The Striker Texas, and he's really familiar with teams out of the Valley. He had told us that, hey, this Hidalgo group has, they have a chance to be special, but they're also young. And, you know, Coach Rafa had mentioned that, hey, if this Bernie group can get past Hidalgo, even though they may be young, then they're really for real. You know, then we expect them to make that run all the way, which a lot of people we had already been hearing, you know, in terms of coverage of you all, you know, and even, you know, Coach Rogers, who I, you know, just interviewed a little while ago, he even told me offline that it's like that, you know, that Bernie group, they gave us, you know, they gave us a run for our money, and down 1-0 to them at halftime. And for you to have your only loss of the season to the 6A boys state champion this year, I think as a 4A squad, that's really saying something, and you should be very proud.
Definitely proud of the boys. Like I said, it was an incredible year. And that Hidalgo team, I tell you what, I went down to the Valley and I scouted them. I watched them in person, and they are very good. Lots of talent. They'll be back in the playoffs with a vengeance. So it'll be exciting to hopefully see them again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about, you know, you mentioned the podcast, but did you feel this year, after how things transpired last year, did you feel that there was a different level of excitement within your community, within the Texas high school soccer community? And did you notice anything in terms of, or did you feel like there was also more coverage and a sense of excitement of high school soccer across the state this year?
Absolutely. You know, from a coverage standpoint, I think everyone just missed high school sports, you know, and especially the you know, for the back end of last year, the sports that got their finals canceled, whether it was basketball, who canceled the finals right there, you know, the state championships, or soccer, who didn't have the playoffs, or, you know, individual tennis, baseball, softball. So I think, you know, those spring sports were dying for coverage, and it was awesome seeing all this new coverage, and I really enjoyed it, especially because it was nice to see my boys get some recognition outside of just Bernie. So yeah, no, it was pretty awesome.
You know, you talk about, obviously it's hard to, it's almost like last year and this year, right? In terms of last season and this season, they feel like just one super big season, right? So it's hard to separate them. But, you know, talk about the impact that last year's season, the inability to finish it out, what kind of impact did that have on this year's group, this season? Were they completely just separate, or was there something there?
No. We talked to the boys, Coach Hogan, myself, from day one, that this is a, you know, this is a continuation of last year. And there are, I think we had 7 or 8 seniors last year. You know, I think 4 or 5 starters, you know, and we thought last year that, hey, we might be able to do something special with this group. So we knew that we were finishing their season from last year as well. And we had that extra motivation or responsibility to go play with urgency. And I think that was the most important thing this year with the boys. And I think with a lot of teams, and you asked me, you know, did you notice anything different just from a soccer standpoint? I think urgency. You know, I think all the teams were out there and understood that, at least at some level, that any game could be your last game. Absolutely. You know, look at, again, last year, you no one would have expected that the season just got canceled, and it did. And so I think that was a big wake-up call for a lot of these kids, that, you know, that you always assume there's going to be that one more game until you get to the playoffs, and that just wasn't the case. So, I thought the boys had that extra responsibility. I thought that all the teams that that played – we're excited to be playing soccer, to be playing high school soccer, because, you know, you know this as well as I do, that 4 years goes by very fast, you know, especially when you get up older in age. And for these kids, 4 years feels like an eternity. But it's fleeting. And to lose a year of your high school sport, to say you only got 3 years, at the time it doesn't sound like a lot to these kids, but later in life it's crazy. So yeah, I think just urgency and responsibility was the biggest thing that my team kind of embraced.
Yeah, tell us, so you talk about this year's group and kind of this year's group also honoring and kind of a tribute, I guess, to your senior class last year, right? That didn't get to play out their season. But this year's group, tell us about, highlight a couple of your players for us. What did they do? What did they bring to the table that made, you know, that made this experience what it was in a state title?
I think the biggest thing, first of all, about our team was we just didn't have any glaring weaknesses. And for a 4A school, that's very difficult to be able to field that much talent, whether it's our starting 11 or even our guys coming off the bench. There were no glaring weaknesses, and I think that was a huge strength of ours. Obviously, from an attacking standpoint, we had Rowdy Fritz, who played for SAFC's Developmental Academy last year. And obviously the academy got canceled, and so that afforded us to have Friday back this year as a senior. And from a talent standpoint, he's the most talented kid I've ever coached. I mean, he's just unbelievable skill, talent, on the ball, tons of speed, good in the air. I mean, he just really is the complete player, and he really allowed us to do special things up top because he garnished so much attention, I played with two high wingers and him as kind of a lone striker, and that created space for him to do what he does best. And then obviously our wingers were able to get high up into the attack, get diagonal runs in, get to the end line, serve ball. So Rowdy Fritz was special. Landon Murphy out on the left is the MVP of the state game. Great finisher, good technical player. Again, a very dangerous player. He had over 20 goals this year. On the season, I think Rowdy ended up with over 20. Justin Moore came along big. Him and Jose Rodriguez kind of split time out in the right hand side. And then in my midfield, it was I was only playing three, and Sam Tice, Juan Castro, and Jess Gonzalez are just workhorses. They're having to do an extra man's work between the three of them because there's only three there. And I didn't ask my wingers to come back and have defensive responsibilities, but those three guys, some of the hardest working midfielders I've ever seen, and that's what allows us to then play the formation we did as a 4-3-3.
Right.
And they were phenomenal all year, those three. And Sam had over 30 goals this year as a center midfielder. And then our back line was just solid. I mean, Scott Hetty was my only returning defensive starter from last year's team, so that was a big unknown for us this year. And something that we're a little worried about, but from a leadership standpoint, he did a phenomenal job getting those new three guys and on the back line there and whipping them into shape and organizing them and communicating with them. And again, a lot of our younger guys really stepped up big this year, and that's what allowed us to, again, you have a talent like Rowdy up top, you got your guys like Sam and Landon, but then those younger guys really elevated the program as a whole because there wasn't that gap in between our top players and our players who might not technically be as good. That gap closed. And I think that's what made us so special. And then Noah LeMaster, my goalkeeper, sophomore, absolutely incredible. He made some huge saves in that state final game. But he really took a step forward this year as well. And I thought he was very special and in district play had some big saves. And again, obviously I expect big things out of him moving forward, but a lot of times you'll have a great team, but you're missing a goalkeeper, or you'll have a great goalkeeper, but you're missing that center striker to score goals for you. But this year we really did have the total team, and our players that came off the bench were phenomenal. So it just really was a team effort with some special outstanding players. I knew from very early on that we were going to be a very dangerous team, and the boys, they rose to the occasion and won themselves a state title. So it was awesome.
Do you recall the moment where you start the year, you go into the year and you're like, okay, we're going to be very dangerous. We have a chance to be special. Do you recall the moment where an exact moment in a match, post-match, going, prepping for a match maybe, Do you recall the moment where you, where it kind of hit you that, hey, no, we have a chance to be super special, like the take it all special? Was there a moment that where it hit you?
I think so. Scott Hetty missed the first few games because of rib injuries from football. And so Rowdy was actually playing as a center back. Again, he's got great vision. He reads the game well, cleans everything up, did a great job back there. And he played back there for, I mean, at least 7-8 games. And then my target striker, Landon Murphy, who ended up moving out left, he gets hurt in practice. So we've got Antonian. And so I put Rowdy up top. And then Scott's finally all the way healthy, so I put him in the back. And that game, seeing Rowdy in that 4-3-3 was like where I was like, wow, this team is actually – we were special before that. And I was like, hey, we can make a run at this. But after that Antonian game, and probably the one after once Landon came back into the in our starting lineup, but seeing Rowdy up top alone there and just seeing how much damage he can do by himself against the back four, I was like, hey, we've got him here. I can put Landon out wide on the wing now, and he's going to do great things. I know the quality that he has. I knew that Antonian game, I knew we were special. And you know, Coach Walter Rule, after the game, he told me the same thing. He said, man, you guys are going to be playing for a long time to come. You guys will be able to make a real special run into playoffs. And it was spot on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Coach Rule. Yeah, good guy. So he is he's Coach Michael Strong, or yes, he's the head coach for the reigning 4A boys state champion, the Bernie Greyhounds. Coach, you talked a little bit in terms of your players this year, right? So how many will you be losing at graduation?
Losing four seniors, and all four of them are special. Obviously, Rowdy, I've gone on and on about him, but Scott Hetty's he's our anchor in the back, so he's going to be a tough one to replace as well. Jose Rodriguez is he's got the quality to be a starter. I liked him coming off the bench because he my starting right winger just runs for days and has tons of speed, so Jose could go in when they're a little softened up. So we'll miss him. And then James Stewart, who is a great locker room guy, leadership type guy, and you know, he will be missed more than he understands and more than he knows. But we'll miss all four of our seniors a lot.
So now you have this group, right? You have this returning group next year. Now you're at the mountaintop, right? You're king of the hill, king of the mountain, whatever you want to call it. And as hard as that is, sometimes getting there can be easier than getting back, right? Defending it, right? So what do you know, they got the target on their back now. What do you tell this returning group? Obviously, we're still giving you time to enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but you know, when that time comes, what do you tell this group that's returning?
Big old target, right? I mean, everyone wants to beat you. Everyone wants to knock off the best. You know, I've a little birdie told me that Hidalgo and London maybe joining the Progresso tournament and already want to play us.
Nice.
And it's a testament to the boys, right? And that people know, you know, that, hey, they're only losing four seniors, and you know, that it's a quality side. And, you know, for me, it's, can you defend something, right? You know, like you said, sometimes it's easier winning than it's defending. You know, can y'all do this without Scott, Rowdy, Jose and James? You know, because a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, hey, you had the developmental academy player. You know, that's why y'all won state. You know, so now it's Sam, can you and Landon step up and prove that you guys can go do this without Rowdy and without Scott? But every team's going to be gunning for us. It's a position I like to be in because you know that you're going to get everyone's best game. Right. And, you know, that's my job to prepare them to make sure that they're mentally focused and ready for every single game. But I love battles, right? That's why we coach. That's why we get to see these kids go out there and give their best effort and rise to the occasion. That's what makes sports so great. And so I'm thrilled for the opportunity to go defend our title, and knowing that we've got that huge target. I know the boys will be equally ready next year, but hopefully they can join it for a little bit longer, maybe in a couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. That's well said. Well said. What are your thoughts? Regional, no regional tournament, kind of a standalone round by round, no regional tournament, no traditional state tournament, every round being a standalone. And then of course the state championship match. Good or bad? What were your thoughts on that when you look back on it?
It's difficult for me because it's the only time I've been here. So I only have one experience. But honestly, I loved the way it all worked out because, and help me if I'm wrong here, but the regional tournament, the regional semifinal, is that on a Thursday? And then the regional finals on a Saturday?
Yeah, it's usually some sort of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It'll vary from region to region. It just depends on the logistics, but yeah, it's typically a back to back in some variation.
I'm thrilled that we didn't have a regional tournament or a state tournament. For me, knowing the quality we had, more rest was going to be better. I was very confident that as long as we competed and worked hard, that we would have the quality to play with or beat any team on that field. So I think the extra rest was great. Obviously it takes away from kind of that experience of it being a tournament, having all the teams there. But, at the end of the day, I think it probably helped us at Bernie having that longer rest window. Because like I said, we play a 4-3-3, or at least this year we did. And that's a lot of running for my three center mids. And if you're expecting them to do that back-to-back days, that's tough. I'm a big fan of no tournaments.
Yeah. It makes for oftentimes what you see in tournament play is especially in a semifinal, particularly at the state level, you can look at it from the regional perspective as well, but just in general, right? In general, generally speaking, when it comes to tournaments, the semifinals, it's kind of an all in, right? We got to commit. There's no tomorrow in order to try to make the final. And then the final, if it's the next day or 2 days later, the legs are so heavy, it usually ends up where the semifinal is a better quality game, if you will, than the final. The final tends to be very, they tend to be very ugly. So that was different. And I'm kind of curious as you're going through the run this year, that state playoff run round to round, what your thoughts were on that. It's an interesting take. I'm kind of curious to see how UIL will adjust it, going forward into next year, or will they go right back to into what they traditionally do?
I hope they keep it because soccer is it's a very demanding sport, right? I mean, obviously all sports are, but from a physicality standpoint, to play two games back to back and expect the quality to be there, like you said, is really unreasonable and it's not realistic, and I think the whole point is that we want to have the best quality soccer possible. And I enjoyed the extra rest there.
What did your kind of give us a little snapshot, take us through what did that period look like when you go from a, let's say maybe a regional final on a Friday to a state semifinal Tuesday to then playing for it all, later in the week on Saturday. How did you handle that, I guess, that week or so, those 7 to 10 days coming out of that regional semifinal?
We were all very excited that we won the regional final, obviously. In terms of like milestones, I think we were almost more excited. I don't want to say more excited, but you kind of win something when you win the regional final, right? It's like, hey, we're going to state, even though, state was spread out. Right. But, everyone's, hey, we're going to state. And that state semi, for me, I wanted to impress upon the boys that, hey, girls basketball team, they made it to the state semis. Boys basketball team made it to the state semis. Our tennis team, they made it to the state finals, but on recent memory, both our basketball teams lost in the state semis. And it's like, we can't be the third team in a row to go lose in the state semis. We've come too far. That it would devastate the community who keeps getting all excited and falling short. Yeah. So it was all business for the state semis. Obviously, like I said, the regional tournament was, we were thrilled with that win, with the winning something. But the state semis, the first game of a two-game season. That's how I broke down the playoffs. I said it's a seven-game season now. You've got a five-game season, and then you get to state, which is a two-game season. And so for us, the state semis was just the first game of a two-game season now. And that's why I tried to press upon the boys is that, hey, Hargraves is the team that is standing in our way to give us an opportunity to win the state title. You know, if you don't win the state semi, no one remembers that. No one really, you know, it just kind of fades away. But you make it to the state final and you give yourself a chance to win state. That's what's really important there. So, again, state semi was all business. And then obviously the lead up to getting to the state final was just, it was crazy with, you know, reporters, interviewers wanting to come out to practice, interview the boys. And then, you know, it was actually pretty warm leading up to that Saturday. And then even though that Saturday it got pretty chilly, which I was thankful for. But you know, during that week, it's like, well, how much, you know, how long do I want practice to be? How intense do I want to be versus take, you know, pull back because I'm trying to save legs. So it was a real interesting kind of managing the team and you know, managing practices and intensity, that kind of stuff. It was a real new experience for me. So I was hoping I didn't screw it up, and hopefully the boys won. So what I did then, I don't have to second guess. But yeah, it was a trip those 7 to 10 days. And obviously the whole time every second that I've got's free, I'm watching film, you know, I'm watching as much film as I can and making sure that I can put the boys in the best position to succeed.
Yeah. You know, we get it, you know, the Bernie community has very high standards, but, I also know a lot of communities that would kill to have all their programs making state semifinals. So there's something to be said about that. So, Coach, what you hit on a little bit in terms of players this year and returning players, but what can we, in maybe one or two sentences, what can we expect from the Bernie men's soccer next year?
I think Bernie men's soccer is going to come back next year, and they're going to be ready to defend their title. Obviously, there's a lot of talent standing in their way, but they will be ready. They're battle tested now. They've got a taste for that victory, but they're going to be ready. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder, even though they're at the top. I promise you, they'll have a chip on their shoulder because I'll put it there.
Well said. He is Coach Michael Strong, head coach of the reigning UAL 4A boys state soccer champions, the Bernie Greyhounds. Coach, this has been great. This has been tremendous. We, you know, those of us here at the 50-50 podcast, we're grateful for your time. We thank you for joining us. You know, you got coaches, high school coaches, even in some cases, even college coaches and student athletes, but high school coaches listening for sure. Any final words, any message you want to send out to them?
Keep doing what you're doing. You know, I mean, it's, for all the guys who are in the profession, we know why we're doing it. You know, it's so special. And again, just keep pushing those kids, make them compete, put them in uncomfortable situations. And you'll be amazed that the boys will rise to the occasion.
It's well said, exceptionally well said. So thank you again for your time, Coach. We appreciate you. And also for our listeners, thank you once again. We do this for you. In support of the game, growing the game here of Texas high school soccer, obviously throughout the state. So until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.
You've been listening to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod and at Coach H. Cano, as well as on Instagram at 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.